بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين, وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. Continue the explanation of the Nawawi collections of hadith, and this is the hadith number 17. عن أبي يعلى شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه, on the authority of Abu Ya'la, أبي يعلى شداد بن أوس رضي الله تعالى عنه, may Allah be pleased with him, from the messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, said, إن الله كتب الإحسان على كل شيء. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has prescribed that you strive to do good in all things. فإذا قتلتم فأحسنوا القتلة. Thus if you kill, kill well. وإذا ذبحتم فأحسنوا الذبح. And if you slaughter, slaughter well. وَلِيُحِدَّ أَحَدَكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. Let each one of you sharpen his blade. وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. And let him spare suffering to the animal he slaughters. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this hadith, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala prescribed that one strives to do good in all things. Not a particular thing, but in all things. In all walks of life. Then he set parables, he gave examples. فَإِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ فَأَحْسِنُوا الْقِتْلَ. If you kill, then kill well. And if you slaughter, slaughter well. And there's a difference between kill and the slaughtering. Because what is killed does not become lawful upon killing. For example, if someone wants to kill a dog, an stray dog, a harmful stray dog, then we say, kill it well. Killing it in this way does not make the dog lawful. If you want to kill a snake, then we say, kill it, but kill it well. And if you want to slaughter, then you slaughter it well. This is concerning that which we eat. So therefore, in everything, you be good. In this respect, once the person intends to do the slaughtering, he should be good and proficient in that by taking the means. That's why he said, وَلْيُحِدَّ أَحَدُكُمْ شَفْرَتَهُ. And let one of you sharpen his blade. The blade, the knife. This means to make it sharp so that it can cut through efficiently with ease. One can rub it against a stone or using a tool, sharpening tool, so that it becomes really sharp. Then the Prophet ﷺ said, وَلْيُرِحْ ذَبِيحَتَهُ. This is a command. Command. Let him spare suffering to the animal he is slaughtering, such that he will pass the blade or the knife with power and speed over the neck. A powerful and swift move. This is the general meaning of the hadith. Now to the benefits. Number one, the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala concerning his slaves. And that he had prescribed goodness in all things. From that is, if you guide someone to his road, then this is goodness. Giving the food to the needy, this is goodness. Enjoining what is right and forbidding what is wrong, this is goodness. And what the Prophet ﷺ mentioned concerning how to kill and how to slaughter, this is also ihsan, this is also goodness. Second benefit, al-hathu al-ihsan fi kulli shay, inciting to be good and strive to be good in all things, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala kataba dhalik, because Allah ordained this legally and assertedly. Thirdly, if you kill something which is lawful to kill, then also kill it in a good way. Let's give an example. A dog, an astray dog, causing harm to you, and you intend to kill it. There are ways to kill this dog. Either it can be killed by bullets, you shoot it, or crushing the head, or giving it poison, or electrical execution, electrical shock. Many ways to manifest the killing. So we kill it in the easier way. And the easiest way in this case, it is said to be the electrical shock, because through the electrical shock, it does not feel a pain. However, its soul gets out with ease, without feeling. And so this becomes easy. Of course, excluded from this is the capital punishment and equality. In this case, the criminal is to be dealt with in the same manner he dealt with the one he killed. The evidence for this is in the story of the Jew who crushed the head of a girl, a Muslim girl, as in the hadith in Sahih Bukhari. In this hadith, which is reported by Anas, may Allah be pleased with him, a Jew crushed the head of a girl between two stones. The girl was asked who had crushed her head, and some names were mentioned before her. حتى سمي اليهودي. And when the name of the Jew was mentioned, she nodded agreeing. فأخذ اليهودي فاعترف. The Jew was captured, and when he confessed, the Prophet ﷺ ordered that his head be crushed between two stones. And this is in Sahih Bukhari. Fourth benefit, Allah Azza wa Jal, to Him belongs the decree and the command. Why? Because Allah Subhanahu wa Taala said, "Inna." The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, "Inna Allah katab al ihsan." Allah ordained the ihsan, goodness, and the ordainments of Allah Subhanahu wa Taala are two types: kitabatun qadariyya. وكتابة شرعية. A universal decree or command and a legal one. As to the universal one, which is called Al-Qadariyya, it's inevitable to take place. It's inevitable to take place. However, the legal one, it may occur, it may be done, executed by the children of Adam, and it may not. Example on the first one, on the universal one. As in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the kitaba, the preordainment, in Surah Al-Anbiya 21, verse 105. Allah ta'ala, ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون. This is what Allah had written. ولقد كتبنا في الزبور. This is كتابة قدرية. And indeed we have written in the في الزبور all the revealed books. من بعد الذكر after we have already written in the preserved tablet أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون, that my righteous slaves shall inherit the land, meaning the land of paradise. هذه كتابة قدرية. This is something which Allah had written. This is قدري, universal. The الكتابة الشرعية, the legal one, the legal writing is in Surah Al-Baqarah, as an example, 2 and 6. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم. كتب عليكم القتال وهو كره لكم. Jihad had been written, meaning ordained for you, though you dislike it. You dislike the jihad, meaning the not the ordainment. They dislike the killing and them to fight and then be killed. They don't dislike the ordainment of Allah. So it here, the subject refers to the fighting, the jihad. It doesn't refer to the preordainment or the ordainment of Allah. And there's a difference between somebody, it's the difference that there's a difference that someone dislikes the ruling of Allah or the ordainment, or disliking what is being ordained or what is ordained. There is a difference between the two. And from the legal writing or ordainment is the saying of Allah also in Surah Al-Baqarah 2:183. يا أيها الذين آمنوا كتب عليكم الصيام. Oh, you believe, observing fasting is prescribed, ordained for you as it was ordained or prescribed for those before you, that you may become muttaqin, pious. But does everyone from the children of Adam comply? Not necessarily. This is a legal command. It's not necessarily that everyone complies. We know that there are those who fast and those who don't fast. But with respect to the universal writing or ordainment of Allah, it is inevitable to pass. It is inevitable to pass. The fifth benefit, that ihsan, goodness, is comprehensive, covering everything, in all things. Sixth benefit, the good way of teaching of the Prophet ﷺ through giving similitudes. Because the similitudes and the examples bring the meaning closer to understand, make it closer to understand. So he says, إِذَا قَتَلْتُمْ, if you kill, then such and such. If you slaughter, then such and such. Seventh, the obligation to kill well, because this is the description of the way, not of the action itself. And the goodness in killing, according to the preponderating opinion, is in following the legal way, whether it is difficult or easy. And therefore, accordingly, no one can say anything against the stoning of the adulterer. Because This is the goodness. This is the punishment. This is good, therefore, because it is the legal punishment. The eighth benefit. That if we slaughter, we should slaughter well. According to the legal way of slaughtering. And the slaughtering requires conditions. Number one. أهليّة الذبح. The legal suitability of the one who slaughters, that he must be a Muslim or from the people of the book, Jews or Christians. If he is an idol worshipper, then the animal he slaughters is not lawful. And if he is an apostate, someone who forsake Islam, again, his slaughtered animal, his meat, is not lawful. And accordingly, the one who abandons Salah, his meat, what he slaughters, is not lawful. Because he is neither a Muslim, nor one of the people of the book. Now, if someone says, what's the evidence that the slaughtered animal slaughtered by the people of the book is halal? The answer is in the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah chapter 5 verse 5, وَطَعَامُ الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ حِلٌّ لَكُمْ وَطَعَامُكُمْ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. The food, the slaughtered cattle, eatable animals, etc. of the people of the scripture, the Jews and Christians, is lawful to you and yours is lawful to them. Ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, said, this refers to their food, what they slaughtered. And the Kitabi is one who is a Jew or a Christian. Second condition, that the tool used to slaughter is or must be lawful to use. The tool used to slaughter must be lawful to use, of the lawful type to use. And it refers to everything used to cause everything or whatever causes the blood to flow, whether it is of iron, silver, gold, stones, cane, anything. Because the Prophet ﷺ said in the hadith, مَا أَنْهَرَ الدَّمُ مَا أَنْهَرَ الدَّمَ وَذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَكُلْ. Use whatsoever or whatever causes blood to flow and eat the animals. And the rest of the hadith, وَذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. So use whatever causes blood to flow and eat the animals, if the name of Allah has been mentioned on slaughtering them. There is an exception. Exception is, except for, don't slaughter with teeth or fingernails. Don't slaughter with teeth or fingernails. So in the hadith, whatever causes blood to flow, if you slaughter with a sharp stone and it causes the blood to flow, then your slaughtered animal is halal. Of course, we now talk about the exceptions. The exceptions are now we'll talk about the exceptions. The exceptions are the teeth or fingernails. And the reason, the Prophet ﷺ made it clear when he said, أَمَّا السِّنُّ فَعَظْمٌ وَأَمَّا الظِّفْرُ فَمُدَى الْحَبَشَةَ. He ﷺ gave us the reason why. And I will tell you why. It is because teeth are bones. Teeth are bones. And the fingernails are the tools used by the Ethiopians. Are the tools used by the Ethiopians. And we will discuss this further. As to his saying, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَمَّا السِّنُّ فَعَظْمٌ. Because teeth are bones, some of the learned people from the scholars deduced that all the bones are forbidden to slaughter with. And the wisdom behind this is clear, because al-azmu, bones, if it's taken from a dead animal, then it is not permitted to slaughter with, because slaughtering is a purification, and the dead animal is filth. Now, if the bone, on the other hand, is taken from a pure source, like the bones from a slaughtered sheep, again, it is not permissible to use. Why? Because the bones of the slaughtered animal is the food for the jinn. Is the food for the jinn. And to use it in slaughtering will render it useless for the jinn. It will become filth, since it will mix up with ritually filth blood. And we know that the Prophet ﷺ addressed the delegation of the jinn when they came to him. He told them, لَكُمْ كُلُّ عَظْمٍ ذُكِرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ تَجِدُونَهُ أَوْفَرَ مَا يَكُونُ لَحْمًا. He told them, every bone on which the name of Allah is recited is your provision. The time it will fall in your hand, it would be covered with flesh. The time it will fall in your hand, it would be covered with flesh. And this is reported in Sahih Muslim. Someone may say, I pass by the bones, and they are so clear there, no flesh on them. So what's the answer? The answer is simple. We tell him, do you believe in Allah and His Messenger? Do you believe in Allah and His Messenger? He will say yes. We tell him, هكذا قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم وعليك أن تؤمن بذلك سواء رأيت أم لم ترى. So accordingly, this is what the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم said, and you must believe in that, whether you see the flesh or you don't. Secondly, we tell him, عالم الجن عالم غيبي, The world of the unjinn, of the jinn, is an unseen world. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ informed of the man who sleeps on Salat al-Fajr, that he is the one who shaitan urinated in his ear. And we know we don't see that. So therefore now, there is an exception to use, exception not to use the bones. What about the fingernails? The Prophet ﷺ told us of the reason why. That this is mud al-habasha. This is the tool used by the Ethiopians. Meaning this is their knives, their fingernails. They use it as a tool, or as tools. This is their knives. And we are ordered not to assume the manners of the infidel, kafirs. So now if someone says, if we find knives, no one uses them except the Ethiopians, can we use them to slaughter? The answer is yes. If someone says, now why don't you generalize now, as you generalized when you said that concerning the teeth to be bones, you made a generalization then to cover all bones. Now why don't you here also include all knives? We say the answer, that the fingernails of the Ethiopians is attached to their bodies. And using them as tools to sacrifice means that they don't cut them, nor do they trim them. And this opposes the fitrah, the natural inclination. And therefore this really makes clear the distinction between the two cases. And here this is a warning from the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam not to resemble the infidels and not to have fingernails, meaning long ones. The third condition to cause the blood to flow. And this is manifested by cutting the two jugular veins that surround the throat. So to cause the blood to flow, this is the third condition. And this is manifested by cutting the two jugular veins surrounding the throat. Those veins are attached to the heart. So once they are cut, then this causes the blood to flow. It will come gushing out, and the animal will die quickly. And the hadith is clear, ما أنهر الدم, whatever causes the blood to flow. Now, is it a condition to cut the throat and the esophagus in addition to cutting the two jugular veins? We say this, why? Because is this a condition? Because in the neck there are four things. The two veins, the throat, the esophagus. These are four. So, is it conditional therefore to cut the four? The answer, this is more fitting. And more purifying. But if it is limited to cutting the two veins, then the correct opinion is that the dhabiha, the slaughtered animal, is halal. And if it is only, if the cutting covers only the esophagus and the throat, then the correct opinion is that it is haram. Because the Prophet ﷺ, according to one hadith, but this hadith has been declared to be weak by Sheikh Al-Arbani, rahimahullah, forbade cutting the skin and leaving the veins uncut, saying that this is the scratch, quote unquote, of the shaitan. This hadith is reported by Abu Dawood and Imam Ahmad, and it has been declared as weak in four places by Sheikh Al-Albani, rahimahullah. Now, is it a condition to cut the throat from the middle of the neck, or from below, or on top of the neck? There is no condition. This is not a condition. What matters is that the cutting is in the neck, whether from top, closer to the head, or from the bottom, closer to the chest, or in the middle. The fourth condition, mentioning Allah's name, reciting Allah's name on the slaughtered animal, when one is slaughtering. Because the Prophet ﷺ said, مَا أَنْهَرَ الدَّمَ وَذُكَرَ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ فَكُلْ. Whatever causes, use whatever causes blood to flow, and eat the animal if the name of Allah has been mentioned on slaughtering them. So, causing the blood to flow is a condition. Mentioning Allah's name on the slaughtered animal is another condition. In fact, Allah asserted this in Surah Al-An'am, chapter 6, verse 121. قال الله تعالى وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَإِنَّهُ لَفِسْقٍ. Eat not, O believers, of that meat on which Allah's name has not been pronounced at the time of the slaughter. For sure it is a fisq, a sin, the disobedience to Allah. Now, so if someone slaughters the animal and did not mention Allah's name, then this slaughtered animal is haram to eat from, forbidden. Now, if he forgets to mention Allah's name upon the slaughtering, then it is also forbidden. Because the condition here is not lifted due to forgetfulness. And this is evident in the fact that if someone prays in a state of ritual impurity, due to forgetfulness, then his salah is not correct, is invalid. And here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَا تَأْكُلُوا مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرْ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ. And don't eat not of that meat on which Allah's name has not been pronounced. And he generalized concerning the one who slaughters. So if one says no, we understand that making the tasmiyah, making Allah's name, pronouncing Allah's name is a condition. And if he does not do this out of forgetfulness or forgetting or intentionally, then the meat is haram. But what would you say concerning the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah 2, 286, رَبَّنَا لَا تُؤَاخِذْنَا إن نسينا أو أخطأنا. And Allah said, I do. Our Lord punish us, not if we forget or fall into error, our Lord. And Allah answered by the affirmative. So how would we respond? We say, we don't hold the person who slaughtered the animal, we don't hold him blameworthy we don't hold him blameworthy. We say there is no sin upon him. But there remains the one who is going to eat from it. If someone comes to eat and asks, was the name of Allah mentioned on this or not? Then we tell him, the name of Allah was not mentioned. Therefore, he shouldn't eat. However, if we assume, if this person eats of this type of meat, he ate from it out of forgetfulness or being ignorant concerning the mentioning of the name of Allah, then we say, there is nothing on you. Also, if someone says, here is a camel, its value is almost 1,000 riyals, close to 300 plus dollars, and you're going to put it to waste because someone forgot to mention the name of Allah on it upon slaughtering it? This is wasting people's money. The answer, it's not we who are wasting the money, because everything which is left and to be abandoned due to the command of Allah, then it is not something wasted. Rather, it is an obedience to Allah, the Most Mighty, the Most Majestic. Don't we obey Allah and we give the zakah, the charity, the dutiable charity, and it is the 1/4 of the 10th of our wealth, the 2.5%. So if one has 40 million, then his zakah is 1 million. We obey Allah and we give. So, as long as we leave this animal upon which the name of Allah was not mentioned when it was eaten, so in this case we are not wasting the wealth. Rather, in fact, we placed it in its right place. Another thing, if this is made unlawful this time, then the next time he's not going to forget. In fact, he may go and mention the name of Allah 10 times. And that's why when some people objected for cutting the hand of the thief and said, if we go and cut the hand of the thief, then we will leave half of the people without hands. We say to him, now you have confessed that half of your people are thieves. But we go and say, on the other hand, لو قطعت سارقا واحدا لانتهى آلاف السراق. If you cut the hand of one thief, then thousands of thieves will stop. So therefore, this man who forgot the mentioning of Allah's name on his animal upon sacrificing, and we tell him that this dabiha is haram, your meat is haram, he's not going to forget it in the future. Not to mention that we have a clear verse, وَلَا تَأْكُلُ مِمَّا لَمْ يُذْكَرِ اسْمُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ, and don't eat of the food, of the meat, from the animal upon which the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was not mentioned. There's an exception now concerning our saying. if one is not unable to cut the two jugular veins of an animal because he is not able to have control over this animal, meaning if we have a camel and it runs away and we cannot put hold on it and we shoot it and the bullet hits the stomach and penetrates to the heart and dies, then this is halal, because this is not under our control. And we know in this case we didn't cut the jugular veins, so this is an exception. Also, if the animal falls in a well and we are not able to reach it to slaughter it, and we shoot it and the bullet hits him in a deadly place and it dies, then it is halal. And from the benefits of this hadith are, number one, the obligation to sharpen the blade. Because this is easier for sacrifice and upon the animal itself. And sharpening means to hold it and to make it sharp. So if he slaughters by one which is not sharpened well, tool, yet it goes and penetrates and cuts what is conditional to be cut, then the meat is halal, but he is held sinful because he didn't sharpen the blade. Now, should he sharpen it before, in front of the eyes of the animal, to be slaughtered? No. Because the Prophet ﷺ commanded that the blades be sharpened and kept away from the animals, meaning hidden, covered. Because if he would do this in front of it, it will know. And that's why sometimes if someone sharpens the knife before the animal, it will run away from fear and will not be able to hold it. Second benefit, the obligation to make it easy upon the slaughtered animal. How? By being swift. And should we leave its four limbs loose, or should we hold of them? The answer, we keep them loose. And we put the feet on the side of the neck to prevent it from standing. And we leave the limbs, the two hands and the two legs free. This is easier and more comfortable to the animal from one angle. And from another angle, it will lead the blood to gush and flow faster, because with the movement and so forth, the blood will come out. And what is done by some people now, what they do is that they, when they lay the sheep and they want to slaughter, they will put their knee and put their weight on it, and they will hold the hands and the feet. This is like torturing. This is torturing it. And some of them, they will take by the left hand of the animal and bend it all the way to around the neck. And this is even more painful. And we tell them, just put your foot on the side of the neck and slaughter. Leave it to move, keeping your foot there until it dies. Now, if someone says, is it from being good to the animal what is done by some people, who break the neck before it dies in order for it to die quickly? Is this kind of comfort, giving comfort to the animal? The answer is, this is not permissible, because breaking its neck is very painful to it, and we don't need this pain. Rather, we wait until all the blood comes out, and when the blood comes out, it's over. Thirdly, third benefit, if someone wants to discipline his family members or his son or his children, let him do this in goodness. And that's why the Prophet ﷺ admonished the companions during the farewell pilgrimage, as in Hajjat al-Wada', in the farewell pilgrimage, he said, وَلَكُمْ عَلَيْهِنَّ أَنْ لَا يُوطِئْنَ فُرُشَكُمْ أَحَدًا تَكْرَهُونَهُ فَإِنْ فَعَلْنَ ذَلِكَ فَضْرِبُوهُنَّ ضَرْبًا غَيْرًا مبرح. In the hadith, in the farewell pilgrimage, in the admonition he gave sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to thousands of the companions alayhi salatu wa sallam, and thus to this ummah at large, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fear Allah concerning women, verily you have taken them on the security of Allah, and intercourse with them has been made lawful unto you by words of Allah. You too have right over them, and that they should not allow anyone to sit on your bed whom you don't like. But if they do that, then beat them lightly, not severely. Till the end of the hadith. So we say, even in discipline, if you discipline, then do it in goodness, and don't do it with violence. And some people resort to violence, thinking that this is beneficial, and it is not so. And that's why the scholar said, if he beats his son or his child severely, and the child dies, then he is held responsible. And if he, on the other hand, disciplines him, regular discipline, without any violence, and then dies, then there is nothing upon him. And Allah, the Most High, knows best. This brings the end of the discussion on this hadith. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Most High, to make it a benefit for myself and for all of you. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.